Policing, police, Black Lives Matter, corruption, anger, racism. We'll be discussing it and more on this edition of Frank Relationship.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yeah. As always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Sarge, what's your greatest fear when you hit the streets as a police officer each day?
Not coming home.
Now, that's the same fear that I have when I walk out of the house. What's the difference between you and me? And I just run a radio show.
I wear a uniform with a badge and a marked in blue.
Mm-hmm.
And due to so many things happening with police officers, brutality and other issues, a lot of people resent the police, and that concerns me.
Mm-hmm. Is there a resentment towards the police because of things that the police do, or do people resent the police because they just exist?
Because of things that police officers do.
Mm-hmm. And when are you most satisfied at the end of a workday?
Coming home and knowing that I did the best job I could do that day.
It's funny, because my concept, I'm not a police officer, never been one, but my concept around an answer to that question is when I didn't need to do anything. To me, that would be what an ideal day for a police officer would be.
You mean you didn't have to arrest anybody?
Didn't have to do anything. Just nothing. Got no calls, no problems, no nothing. Like, that seems like the ideal day for a police officer.
Peace in the streets.
And that certainly is. Every day I hope that all my days are like that.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show where you, my brethren, who like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create a loving and flexible relationship, parents, and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and if via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my co-host, Nancy.
Hi, Frank.
Nancy Goldring, the consummate generalist.
Indeed.
Ha ha. We're also joined by today's visiting co-host, Carl Thomas. Greetings, Carl.
Good morning.
Who are you and what do you do when you are guest co-hosting?
Carl Thomas. I am a father of three, a husband. I run a workforce development company, specializing in national certifications, a CDL, heavy equipment operator, fiber optic delivery, drone and joy regulatory trainer, et cetera, et cetera.
It's okay.
38 different certifications.
Very nice. And this is in what locality?
It's in D.C. Our actual service location is in Suitland, 1 mile outside of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We're right across the street from Suitland Metro as well. From a convenience standpoint, we're right where we want to be. We're able to serve D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. We're also a mile and a half from 495. So,
is it for adults?
It is for 18 and up.
18 and up.
Yeah. 18 to 1800.
Is there a cost?
Negative.
Oh.
We actually don't even have a pay structure that we could take from an individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would work something out if they wanted to.
Pay you.
But in general, we try to get the government to pay for these valuable services in order to reach the most necessary people.
Very nice. I have a very important question I want to run by you guys and see what feedback you can give me. I need your assistance. I'm having an issue, and I'm trying to figure out why people constantly are calling me an Adonis.
Because you're hanging out at an insane asylum.
Thank you, Jeff. I just want to come back next week and my answer may have killed that possibility.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, all right, you guys, y'all go back to sleep. Leave me alone. Y'all, you've added no value.
Is the motivation of that question because for your age, you're actually in good shape?
Jeff,
and you're an attractive
please.
Guy. I mean, I don't know. Or you're just that arrogant.
It's something that's puzzling me. I mean, people keep asking me why I'm just gorgeous.
Oh, wow. So,
you were kissed by night by God.
Which God?
You're a cute.
Ah, that might do it.
Leaving it totally alone.
As is the case this week with Carl, there's a visiting guest co-host chair available each week in the studio. If you're in the D.C. area or traveling to the D.C. area and want to join us in the studio on a given Thursday morning, email me at frank@franklove.com and let me know.
Just so you know, I have a brother named Adonis. Clearly, I need to bring him in.
There can only be one.
Mm. You'll be Frank that week. Go on.
You're Frank this week also. Just for the record.
Thank you.
No problem.
We've got a special guest today that'll help us develop an understanding of a police officer. Today's guest has served as a member of the Canton Police Department for 34 years and has undoubtedly seen his share of victims and violators. We're talking with him about a day in the life of an officer at a time when officer-involved shootings are more and more scrutinized. The recent killing of five police officers in Dallas has stirred sadness, outrage, and indifference. Did you see Obama's?
Yes, only a part of it.
I thought he did a great job.
Yes, he did.
And I say that having not heard what any of the pundits are saying. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I just watched it.
Right.
Some of it. And I thought he did a very good job.
I did also.
At the Dallas Memorial or in response period?
At the Dallas
I thought the Dallas Memorial was very, very appropriate. I thought he was a little soft initially.
Uh-huh.
Like I thought his comments were soft. Uh-huh. First offered comments after the first two murders. Mm. But Dallas, I thought, was a fine line that he tread that was appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was impressive, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
So for 7.5 years of presidency, does.
Yeah, on your way out.
Refines you.
Does the violence stem from abuses of power by law enforcement? Is it the lack of awareness of the appropriate protocols, attitudes, and behaviors when dealing with police? I'm not sure. But if you, my wonderful listeners, want to learn what a police officer sees as he patrols the streets, whether the answer to crime is more police officers, and how we can gain a more compassionate perspective on the challenges that come with being a citizen and a police officer, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks about the various issues pertaining to police and policing, as Sergeant Grant Presley Jr. graciously shares his experience and commentary. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Before we get too deep in today's subject matter, I want to check in to see what's going on in the news. Anybody got any interesting this or that's around relationships in the news? Sarge, please don't be bashful. We want your thoughts, too, as we get. I mean, you may want to throw something out there right now, but as we get to postulating. What you got, Nancy?
What is this one-armed hug business?
Are you serious?
I'm asking you. What is that?
You heard me talk about this already.
But I don't
you,
think
do you
so.
Know Carl?
Absolutely.
I don't I can't, think so.
I'm like, what the heck? Do you see people giving each other one-arm hugs now?
Yeah. I've had a couple, but I always thought because the person was either like on the run or had something in their hand.
Well, if you got something in your hand, it's not applicable.
Right, right.
But we seem to like it's not the man hug where you shaking each other's hand and then you go in with the other hand right. and give each other a hug. It's the literally just one arm
hug.
A half hug. Yeah. What the heck? I don't understand. Where did this come from?
I definitely don't know. It takes the church hug to another level. At least with the church hug, you get two arms.
What's the church hug?
Well, that's where you kind of...
Tap their back twice.
You don't tap them, but you just lightly embrace them with your lower extremities a fair distance away from the other person.
Okay.
You keep it green and clean, I guess, but... So it's like friendly, but it definitely is. It's friendly, and yet it's designed to be sincere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily feel that way. It's people trying to be affectionate and yet appropriate at the same time.
Boo.
But this is something else.
Mm. Well, right. I think the one-arm hug comes really out of a work culture. You know, so like if you're friends outside of work, mm-hmm. while at work, you give the one-arm hug, you know, like, I mean, for the exact same reason that in church you give the separate half hug.
The top half hug.
Wow.
Give the right half hug.
My other hand is busy looking at my phone playing Pokemon Go, so I can't hug with both hands.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard of Pokemon Go?
I've heard of it.
Yes.
I hear it's like a
it's
major
the craze
thing.
Right
major.
Now.
It's ridiculous.
Major. To the point where this week in College Park, Maryland, there were two armed robberies on people who are because you're walking, looking at your phone to find this, you know, hologram or to find the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Dude comes up behind him with a gun, takes their phone, takes their money.
Whoa.
Because your concentration is totally averted or diverted to your phone. And the motivation behind this interactive game is, number one, they're aiming at people who play interactive games, which is many.
Right.
There's millions of people doing this. It's to get them out. Instead of sitting at home playing the game or sitting on your phone, you have to actually physically go to a location.
Oh.
So they actually outlawed it at the Holocaust Museum. They outlawed it at Arlington Cemetery because people are going there. to search for Pokemon or Pikachu or whoever it might be.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's headlines in the news this week.
Yes,
how do you
surely
manage
is.
To know who the hell Pikachu is?
Well, I have kids who
His
grew
kids
up in
grew
the
up
90s.
On Pokemon, yeah.
So Pokemon's been around that long?
Oh, yeah.
How old are your kids, Sergeant Granum?
Wow. Both my sons are, the youngest one is 39. Oldest one's 41.
Oh, they missed the Pokemon era.
Mm. My kids are in their 20s, and that was huge in the 90s. Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, even I'm 35, so I'm 36 as of last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So I definitely remember seeing Pokemon. Like, I knew exactly what it was. I wasn't interested because I was just right over the hump. But I had some younger cousins who were really into it, and it was foolishness to me. It still is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Collecting cards and all that.
Business. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you going to do with the cards when you collect them?
They just had them in a book.
Just
nothing.
Got 15,000 Pokemon cards.
Yeah, well.
Sounds like firewood.
Onward.
And so does anybody here voluntarily give the one-arm hug?
No.
I mean, you're opposed. I'm opposed. I don't even understand it. Carl?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Depends on the person.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Not intentionally. Maybe I'm shaking a dude's hand with my right hand. I'll put my
But that's different.
That's totally different.
No, I didn't even know it existed.
That's if you only want to do a one-to-two hug, you may as well shake hands.
On a one-to-two.
Yeah.
I think that's actually more appropriate.
I agree.
Yeah.
Cell phone etiquette in relationships. There was an article in recent Psychology Today, that is talking about how much relationships are affected by cell phones. People are really spending their time together on their phones. And I'm going to interject me and my wife into this easily. when my wife gets in the car with me, I'm like, babe, put it away. I don't even care who you're talking to, communicating with. I don't care what you're doing. Put it away. Otherwise, we can stay home. We're not going, and I'm not talking about I'm taking her to the train station or, you know, I'm running her somewhere that or we're going somewhere utility-wise. Right. I'm talking about we're going out or we're going to dinner or something like that.
Yeah.
So put the phone away. If you want to be on the phone, we can stay home. And I say that. Any what you say, Carl? You married? Or does she say that to you?
No, she doesn't say that to me. I don't say it to her either. Mm-hmm. I think over time, you kind of feel where the margins are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and one or two times you say, are we talking or are you texting or, you know, and uh-huh. they kind of get it. I mean, they're your spouse, you know,
uh-huh.
like you chose them, you picked them,
uh-huh.
they picked you.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, just the same as, you know, you put peppers on my Chipotle and it's a little too hot. The next time I go to Chipotle, I remember.
Hold up. You mean those the green peppers in Chipotle?
Well,
there's only one kind of peppers in Chipotle.
No. They got two
kinds. Couple
kinds. They got some hot stuff that doesn't look that hot, and then they got some stuff that's not hot at all. So, like, you can get confused. I have twice, actually.
Okay.
Sorry, babe. but now I know.
Uh-huh.
Don't put no peppers at all. And without her even having to say, this is a correction that you have to make. And so by the same token with behaviors, I think that in judging how our partners respond to what we do, that's where we find the margins.
The thing is, sometimes we're so into what we're doing that we're not paying attention to our partners. And I can't say it's not like it's being done to be malicious or irritating or intentionally to not pay attention to, you know, your partner. But it definitely has an effect. You know, Nancy, matter of fact, Sarge, what do you say about something like this?
If it makes you happy.
Do you think how long have you been married?
Are you married?
Yes, been married 37 years. June 14th. I messed up there.
Uh-oh.
June 23rd.
No, we could.
Made 37 years.
Keep it 14th and let her hear the show.
Get hit over the head. Congratulations on your anniversary. So, in that time, or at any time, so now the both of you are quite busy, I expect, from time to time. And yet, I bet you never enter that zone where you're divided because one of you is too caught up in your cell phone.
Why do you bet that? What do
I
you?
I just get that feeling. I get that feeling because 37 years ago, 25 years ago, you didn't distract yourself with your phone. Do you see what I'm saying? The phone is seen as a tool. It's not an extension of your being. For some people, the phone is like their arm, their hand, their eye.
You don't know how to set up a question. See, you ain't set up the question right.
I didn't set up the question right, Carl.
First of all, we don't even know he has a cell phone. So you got to ask him that first.
Well, no. Frank doesn't know that he has a cell phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, Sarge, do you have a cell phone?
I had two.
Ooh.
My wife has the other one.
Uh-huh.
He has two, and she works them.
And are either of them smartphones? See, that's how you set up a question.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
But did you catch that his wife has two, and
uh-huh.
she works them?
All right, now we got something to work with.
Oh, got it.
So now you can weigh in on whether your cell phones are distracting now that we know that you have them. See, Nancy? All right. There we go.
Doesn't everybody have a cell phone, Carl?
Not everybody.
Oh, wow.
This brother is at least, he's got a son, 39.
He was married in 79. Like,
so,
he got married in 1979.
Exactly.
He's at least 60.
That's what I'm saying. I bet you that the cell phone does not dominate his relationship with his wife.
And that's why I would bet with Nancy.
Thank
for
you.
For that exact
reason.
Thank
you, too.
You, Carl.
Okay. Okay, Sarge, what say you about cell phone etiquette?
Well, I hope my wife's not listening.
Not
but
yet.
She is constantly on her cell phone.
Uh-huh. And that
you
means
see?
Constantly.
When I hear you say constantly, I hear that it is partially annoying to you. Am I right?
At times, yes.
Thank you. All right, so what do you want her to do differently?
Well, when we're together, to try to limit your business calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So you have a window of time that you set out as specifically for the two of you. And essentially, you're just saying honor that.
Yes.
That's fair.
You have something else to add?
That I do that.
Hit.
I absolutely do not have business hours. Like, or I have hours that are not for business.
Mm-hmm.
When my wife and I sit down to watch a movie, I'm not taking your call. I'm like, I
That's
actually
why you ain't
don't even have
call.
That is exactly why.
Okay.
But I did call you back once the movie ended.
All right. Okay.
And my wife's a teacher, so she's home now. So mm-hmm. I'm at the office a little less. Just so, you know, I mean, you got to steal the time that you can. You know,
but
she's
we're
my
not,
best friend.
We're leaving out the fact that it
I hope
is,
she's listening, too.
On this part of what you're saying.
Yeah.
We're leaving out the fact that cell phones get used for personal stuff, too, not just business things. So
yeah, that's true.
If Sarge, if your wife gets a personal call, most likely, I'm imposing my opinion here, most likely it's going to go to her cell phone, not your house phone. I mean, that's just the culture that we live in these days. So she gets a personal call. That might be irritating, too, not just business calls. Am I right?
True. But we hardly ever use our home phone.
Mm-hmm.
Leastwise, she doesn't. I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any request there, anything you'd like to say to my wife or any spouse about how to deal with your cell phone?
I'll tell your wife, now I know why she never calls me, because she's probably in the car with you.
Okay, there we have it. Sarge, you have the last word on this matter.
After 37 years, at least why, as far as the cell phones, I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand her business needs, and so I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. Why'd you become a police officer?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I never really wanted to be a police officer. You know, as a child growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, and I've seen some police officers do some horrific things to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no way, no how. But due to a employment change situation, laid off, I happened to go to a place, an employment place, and they had applications for the police department. So I took the application home and laid it on the kitchen table. My wife got off work, came in, and says, are you going to fill it out? I said, no. So you better. And the rest is history.
I so appreciate your answer. I'm so glad you didn't say nothing like to help people and to you became a police officer because it was a job. You had to make a living.
Feed your family.
Thank you. Thank
and your
you.
Wife told you to.
True.
Would you be an officer? Well, you've answered my question. So my question was going to be, would you be an officer if you weren't paid to do it? And the answer is clearly no, because you did it because you got paid to do it. So, all right, moving on. You're married. You've been married how many years? You said
37. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And given the dynamics that you see around police officers and relationships, what are the dynamics that you see related to police officers and relationships?
Well, I think this is what I've observed. Really, there are two police departments within any police department. There's a white police department and a black police department.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes white police officers would police the black neighborhood differently from a black police officer. Now, a black police officer policing in a white neighborhood, I mean, we're always careful. Because if somebody will call in a complaint against us, well, they're going to deal with us. Mm-hmm. So you always are cautious, whereas a white police officer can come in and maybe use more force than necessary, use vulgar language, and nothing ever happens.
Mm-hmm. What about the dynamic of having other officers from other cultures?
Well, for us, just here recently, we hired a Latino. We recently hired a Latino, and very nice person. And already he has seen or understands the culture of the police department. And it appears he's not sure whether to sort of hang with the black officers or hang with the white officers, but he's trying to find his way, who's going to protect me if I need help.
Mm-hmm. So he's sort of an outsider looking for
a home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Got it.
Marriages in the police department. Any dynamics you see? High divorce rate, low divorce rate, acrimony, getting called to other officers' homes for domestic violence. What can you add there?
Divorce rate in police officers is very, very high.
Why?
And that's due to what I call the hero. Mm. A police officer is sent to a call, especially domestic violence. Mm-hmm. You go there and you saw the situation, whether they're married or just living together. So you are that white knight, and you correct the situation for her benefit. Mm-hmm. Now she has these feelings towards you. Mm. Now some police officer, married and single, take advantage of that type of situation. Mm-hmm. And to their detriment, divorce, paying child support, and also too, domestic violence is high with police officers.
Mm. How have you kept it together for 37 years?
Assuming that you have, thank you. See, you got to set up your question.
I'm learning, however slowly.
We don't know that you, we're learning you, Sarge.
He's
so,
celebrating
you know,
an anniversary.
That doesn't
they
mean.
They still have date night.
That doesn't mean he hasn't had his share of issues in his relationship.
Right, 2 years ago, he might have cracked
a little skull. Okay.
I didn't say that, but you know.
I'm one of the very few police officers whose phone number was in a telephone book. Mm-hmm. And even though I wear a wedding ring, it doesn't matter. And there have been a lot of women who will call my house asking to speak to Sergeant Presley. Mm-hmm. And my wife would begin to, out the corner of her eye, like, why is this lady calling? And sometimes myself, I went, you know, why are you calling me?
Because you're in the book.
No, I was... Due to my experience, I had always tried to go that extra mile to help people. And most of my uniform days in the car were in the black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so, based off my experience, I don't want to police that way. And I never had a problem. Well, yeah, I never had a real problem. The only problem I ever had was with people who didn't know me. As relate to black people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I had a great career. There has been some ups and downs, seeing child kids killed by parents or through gunfire. And one of the things my wife used to tell me is not to get attached to kids. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it was nothing
Hopefully
for
she
me
wasn't talking
to
about your own.
Have a kid stay tonight, take them to the movies. If I really liked you, I introduce you to my parents. But I really had to. It was something that within me that if you can meet my parents, you understand me as relates to the kid. But I'm just like you.
So you're talking about you as an officer introducing kids to your parents.
Yes.
Wow.
So that they can see that I'm like them. I wasn't born an adult. These are my parents. And then when my mom would see them, you know, that motherly instinct, and she wants to hug them, fix them lunch or dinner, or if it's in the morning, fix them breakfast. Sometimes she would pull out a comb and comb their hair, or take them to the bathroom, wash their face. It was just amazing.
Sergeant, I'm not sure how large your community is or how large the black community is that you work in, but I have basically three questions. I'll try to sum them all into one. Richard Pryor used to have this routine, and it's too long to get into, but the sort of the punchline was, I'm not going to lose my pension, and it was about an African-American officer in the community trying to do his job. And, we can stem it from black-on-black crime right down to the fact that now I can't imagine anyone wanting to be a police officer for a variety of reasons, and black or white. How do you deal with, I'll use a big, broad word, respect? Because you said, you've had some problems. It's usually people who don't know you. Do you still feel respect for the uniform and the badge?
Oh, yes. Yes, because after a while being a police officer, I took the attitude that I want to make a difference, not only in my community, but for the neighboring communities around me.
So when you see police brutality or alleged murder, what does that do to you in terms of pride for your profession?
And it hurts. Makes me full of shame, but I can understand a little bit of those officers because I had told someone else, it's not a training issue, it's a hiring issue. A lot of times police officers, white police officers, their brothers, their dad, cousins are on the police department. So now they're going to have more of a advantage in that hiring process just because they have a relative that's already on the police department. And so we don't, and if it's a relative and doing a background check, a lot of times we won't dig as deep as we should. Because I had a situation where a friend of mine, another police officer, his stepson wanted to come on. And I was getting ready to get the okay to hire him. But a lot of police departments, well, leastwise my police department, there's a psychological test that is done. And there's a series of questions, probably 100 questions, that they will ask an applicant. And some of those questions are going to be repeat, but they're going to answer asking in a different form just to see whether your response changed. I have found that that was 98% accurate because when I called that agency and they told me what to look for, even though I had almost concluded my investigation, when I went back and looked at, they were spot on. And so I can recommend him, even though my best friend, that was his stepson, and I told him, I said, hey, these indicators popped up that were negative about your stepson. I cannot recommend him.
Did it put a strain on your relationship with your friend?
Yeah, it did. It did.
And what were those indicators indicative of? What did they suggest?
Very aggressive, selfish. And prone to violence.
Wow. The hiring, you're saying it's not the training, it's the hiring. I happen to think there's also a culture of corruption in the police department. In many ways, it's almost like a brothers or a brothers at arms culture that exists where you look out for each other before you look out for the community. And that is the breeding ground, as far as I'm concerned, for
abuse.
Yeah. And not checking each other. I mean, you're here to help the community, not help each other. I understand that there's some gray lines, but what say you?
Well, and just a short story. A friend of mine was promoted to being the first black captain ever in the 200-year history of the Canton Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
But he once related to me a story because he was always pro-black. He got a call involving black people. He went the extra mile to make sure that they were treated fairly. White officers didn't do that. One time he got called to a very serious call and asked for backup. No one ever showed. And at that time, he was on, there were only two other black police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And officers, black officers, quickly began to learn that, I may have to fit in because I don't want to be put in a situation that I'm on a call and nobody's going to come to my aid.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that was possible.
Please.
That a police officer would call for backup and not get?
That's what I'm saying.
That's heavy.
There's a breeding ground for corruption. And that brings up a whole nother piece when we're talking about a brotherhood and that sort of thing. But the Fraternal Order of Police, first of all, let me just ask you, are you a member?
Yes.
I have a fundamental question regarding such an organization. When you really think about the advocacy that goes on for police officers, there's something that is questionable. We're looking at officers coming together, basically being a collective, when that's really not the function of being a police officer. And the collective is coming together in many ways against the people.
So it's a conflict of interest relationship?
Yeah, it seems like a conflict of interest to have such a fraternity in many ways. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and you're right. But also, the larger police departments, you have a black union and you have a white union. And for me, that I always thought that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've been on the job for X amount of years. I've seen the necessity for that, because a lot of times black officers' interests, at least what white officers' interests, are not aligned with black officers' interests.
Such as?
I'm just doing police work. Black officers feel that if you go into a black neighborhood, you don't have to use the N-word, cuss them out. And then if you need help, that help is not there, or you might be disciplined more severely than the white officer. And in part, that's why larger police departments had a black union to represent them.
So based on what I'm hearing you say, On the world stage, in the larger context, this whole idea of racism transcending the issue of race as it relates to police officers and citizens, it's so huge inside the police department.
Right.
How can we expect to resolve it when you bring in the public? If this basically, it's almost as if what's happening inside the interior of the police department is mushrooming and manifesting outside the department.
True. You know, if I can add this and talk about black unions, the Dallas Police Chief, Chief Brown, Dallas has a black union and a white union in their police department.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that Chief Brown is not a smart guy. I truly believe that he's smart. But when it comes to promoting a chief, it's not about who has the top score. That'll have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on who is going to follow the mayor's will.
Yes.
Or whoever is managing the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in his case, and that could be totally wrong, but just listening to him at times, they want to have a black chief because that's the thing now, to try to get a black chief. So then can't nobody say, well, the department's racist. No, they got a black chief.
Mm-hmm. It's political.
They picked the right guy. he is definitely
toeing the line.
In line. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his son was murdered by a police officer after murdering a police officer.
Whoa.
Which is interesting.
Wait a minute.
Like three weeks after he became chief of police.
His son murdered
a police officer.
Okay.
Somewhere else, not in his district.
Sure.
And then was consequently murdered by a police officer.
Like a revenge killing.
Was it the same incident?
Maybe
like,
not.
Like shoot, boom, 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 boom.
No, it was later. Like,
wow.
He got away.
Uh-huh.
2 hours, 3 hours, was caught and killed.
Mm.
And so, like, you have to be a special type of person to go through that and continue to be a part of that structure,
jeez,
knowing that it could take anyone from you.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Okay, I got some names for you, Sarge, and I would like to hear names, words. First off, Training Day. Did you see the movie? What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I like Denzel Washington.
Okay.
But
amen.
that is real.
Mm.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. Oh, my department. Oh.
Okay, let's go.
we had a white version of the character Denzel played.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of us, black and white, thought that he had something on the chief of police. He would rob drug dealers, because at this time I'm internal affairs, so I have firsthand information on him. He would rob drug dealers of their money, and then take their drugs, and then tell them, I'm giving this back to you. I want you to sell it and give me the money. Mm-hmm. Again, firsthand, I know that. Or either he would threaten young black women, hey, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to arrest your mother, I'm going to arrest your brother, I'm going to do something to your parents.
How long did that persist? How long?
He also, too, would put a gun the people's head. And people would tell me this.
Jeez.
And I knew these people.
Mm-hmm.
It was not like I was trying to get anything on him. Man, they would call me. He says, you guys have to do something about it. Have to do something about it. And at that time, I worked with another white officer who's seen it for himself.
Dang.
Yeah, that Training Day is real.
How long did this go on? And is he still on the force?
He retired.
Damn.
He retired sooner than he should have. The FBI,
oh,
it was so rapid, the FBI allegedly was looking into him. But when he resigned, they stopped their investigation.
Did he retire or resign?
He retired, but he couldn't get his full benefits.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I think this year, he can apply and get his full benefits.
Mm.
He only got partial.
Mm-hmm. And that was because he retired early or because he retired under questionable circumstances?
No, he retired early.
Sheesh.
Well,
he had his time, but he didn't have the age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the real deal is he
got away with it.
In the public eye, he retired. he retires in the force, if I'm understanding you correctly, under questionable circumstances. We call it retirement, and we retire you to keep from prosecuting you. So the crimes he committed,
he's cool. He got away with it. He's all right.
And the chief at that time, and we didn't know whether he had anything on the chief or whether he was giving the chief money. And the funny thing, when I was promoted to sergeant, me and the chief were promoted together. I had always felt that I had a higher score than his. Mm-hmm. But for some odd reason, and they do in tenths of a point. He was ahead of me by a tenth of a point. I'm thinking, how do you grade somebody like that? But they knew, just me, my thinking, that one day he would be chief. And he shot out the letter real quick.
This is Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help you create better parents and partners. You can find this and our archive show, there are well over 100, at franklove.com, on Blog Talk, iTunes, and Stitcher. You guys may remember at the beginning of the year, we did a show with Master Yao and Yamache on Tantra.
Sure.
You can check out that show in our archives. Well, he has a full weekend of Tantra workshops coming up in the D.C. area during the weekend of July 22nd. 2016, and you're invited to join him. For more information, visit Master Yao, yao57.eventbrite.com. That's Master Yao, yao57.eventbrite.com. I'll also post the link with the show on franklove.com.
Should be interesting.
It should indeed. Sarge, I got a few more words, phrases, names that I want to run by you. First off, in situations, actually, to bring the racial dynamic that you've been noting into question. If you look at the video from the killing of the man in South Carolina by the police officer, the white police officer killed him, but the black police officer was helping him cover it up.
Yes.
There's a fraternity clearly there. What say you about that?
In that particular case, I'm thinking that black officer is probably only two, maybe three black police officers there. And in his mind, you don't want to go against another police officer. Because if you do, you exercise from the police department. And I've been there on that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to time, well, you got to do what is right. Take the hit? You see, well, I'm saying speak up. And then whatever ramifications come from that, so be it. But just do the right thing.
But that sounds easier said than done.
It is.
In that culture, to be quite honest. And it also sounds like an impossible job to have any integrity, personal or otherwise, also seems like a tough...
I mean, also, we're talking about murder. Murder. Lately, actually killing a person.
No. We're not talking about murder. We're talking about justifiable homicide.
Right.
But we're
talking about murder after. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the... Like, I watched you murder someone... justifiably homicide someone.
Remember, the guy turned around, quote unquote, and pulled looking like he was going to pull a weapon. That's right. What it was said, I believe, in the police report.
That guy was awfully running away.
He was awfully running hall ass.
As hard as he could.
Right.
And he was not moving. Like, he was not moving fast enough to, they probably could have thrown something at his feet and he would have tripped up and fell. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was absolutely no reason to shoot him. But now that I've seen you shoot him.
Target practice.
I don't want to be next.
Well, Well, Sarge, you got anything to add on that?
I'm glad you brought that incident up. That was not a a training issue with that officer.
Absolutely.
Right.
It was not a training. It was a hiring issue. He was like that from the start of his career.
The black or the white officer or both?
The white officer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But he hired him anyway.
Okay, so it's a hiring issue. And so how deep does it run? Earlier this week, I heard an official say that only, he says, yes, you're going to have some bad apples, but 98% of the force are good people that are trying to do a good job. Is 2% an exaggeration based on what we're seeing?
Yes, but that's
2% of the department is bad?
He's saying only 2% of the department at the end of the day is really
questionable, problematic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's higher than that.
Oh, yes, it's higher than that.
And it's clearly higher than that.
Yeah, that's just the canned answer that you give.
And it's the one that no one can disprove.
Right.
Like you
not
can't,
without doing some impossible. Serious research
right.
yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in any field where I write the report, you'll never be able to truly understand what happens.
Not only do I write the report, but if there are questionable circumstances, I got like 30 days.
No, I got my homies too.
I got 30 days before I give a statement.
Right.
Before and possibly right. longer before right. the video's shown. It is completely stacked in the favor of the officer.
It's like trying to park at the courthouse.
Yeah.
All the spots are for police right. officers. Like, of course I was late for court, man.
Sarge, come on. What you got on any of this that we're saying?
Well, you know, I cannot disagree with it. Mm. And what you do, what police departments do, and I'm sure that white officer, they bring him in and they get his side of the story. They have the black officer come in and get his side of the story. Now, the black officer, he don't want to go against the grain. You don't want to be that guy who is alienated, and he don't want to be the guy that could one day get set up to be killed himself. You know, that's not out of the realm of impossibility. Because of the police department, I mean, it's so easy to set people up, another police officer.
Serpico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Everyone here except Jeff is African American. So I don't want to. I think you're being too nice on the black officers. And I'm going to tell you a little bit. I've had an experience that comes to mind. They're certainly worse than what I'm about to say. But I had a cop pull me over one time, black officer. And it's because I think my headlight, I didn't turn my, I was coming out of the garage and my headlights weren't on. And I said, why would you not just give me a warning instead of writing a full citation? He said, because I felt like it.
Wow.
And so I went to his superior. He lied about it, said he never said that. You know, I mean, I'm not, whatever. But I don't want to, and mind you, the culture is different in where I grew up versus Canton. The difference is D.C. is, and especially when that happened in the 90s, late 90s or something like that. D.C. was black, major black police department, although it was significantly white also. So the cultures, you have your own corruption in a mostly black force. If it's mostly black, I don't know what the percentages are, but there's certainly significant numbers. I don't think it's fair to paint the picture as though it's just white officers that
the black
are
officers
corrupt
are victims.
Or that have issues. You know, black officers do too. In fact, there's a dynamic that I read about years ago. I haven't heard of any situation like that recently, but where someone was trying to get out of a parking space to avoid getting a ticket, and the cop stood in front of the car while the guy was trying to get away from getting a ticket, and the guy continued to try to get away, and the cop killed him because it was assault with a deadly weapon. The car. Right.
The car.
The car that, was a deadly
that
weapon.
That is absolutely absurd. And that's that happened in D.C. Don't know if the officer was black or white. However, I have seen the dynamic occur with a black officer where it didn't escalate, mm-hmm. but where he did stand in front of the car. What do you say about any of that, Sarge?
Well, you know, you do have bad black police officers. And when you brought that up, it came to my mind, another black police officer who was hired along with me. And again, it goes back to the hiring process. They never should have hired him. He was known to pull a car over for a traffic violation. He would actually pull the driver out of the window, went over to the door, would just literally pull him out of the car for not saying, yes, sir, no, sir.
Whoa.
And as I'm telling you this now, I can see it in my mind now because I was there. And finally, he did have to leave, but because me and him, our description was so similar, I didn't carry my gun home with me. I always left it at the police department.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I carried my gun with me for fear that someone was going to think that I was him. Yeah, you do have bad black police officers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the number of ratio, I think it's only a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people come to work with whatever they left home with, you know, on any given day.
On any given job.
I could go to Chipotle and get raw chicken.
Mm.
I could go to Kobe and get uncooked rice,
mm-hmm.
right? Neither one of those are going to kill me, though, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if I come in contact with
maybe the uncooked chicken will.
Perhaps.
If you
but
eat it.
Some days later.
You still got a little time.
But I recall in high school being shot in the buttocks with a BB gun for passing someone who had a BB gun. Like, me and my friends were coming from a field trip. We stopped, spoke for 3 seconds with somebody that we knew from the neighborhood. The police pulled up. They questioned us about a BB gun. We were coming from a field trip, though, with our class, et cetera, and lined us all up on the hill and shot us all in the butt with this BB gun.
Wow.
And that's really a mild kind of story. Like, I've been to jail, like, you know, because I can. I've been to mm-hmm. jail because I can.
Mm-hmm.
More than once, like 3 times, in fact. Never having been charged with anything, really. Like, once I had to go to court, I beat it in court. Like, there was no, like, the documents were completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't even my name. And they didn't even have my name.
Just to be clear, when you're saying, because I can, you mean you were locked up, and the police officer's reason for locking you up was, because I can.
Yeah. Because you run off at the mouth,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're too smart at the mouth. What? this is preposterous.
Okay, but you know what? Now, that is a lot of what's happening out there, and that is perceived evidently by the officer as a form of disrespect. And that takes us into: is there or should there be some protocol, some training for citizens on how to deal with the police?
Sarge.
Oh, true. True.
And what should that look like? Should I be bowing down because somebody pulls me over with the red lights and give me your license and registration and they're rude to me from the get-go because they can be?
Or even if they're not rude, do I need to bow down?
They're carrying
yes.
a gun.
I was on my way to Cleveland for a training class. And I had worked an extra job, and I want to go to a hotel and stay. So I'm driving, and I'm speeding.
in a police car or not?
Yeah, in his car. I'm in uniform.
No, you're in uniform, but you're in a street car, a regular car.
A regular car.
Okay.
My hands, both, I'm in uniform. Both my hands are on the steering wheel. And he comes up and he looks at me. And he had wanted to write a ticket so bad. And, oh, man, he downrated me, belittled me. All police officers have big egos. We do. We have humongous egos.
Thank you for saying that.
And if it weren't for the fact that I had to be in that class, I would ask him to get a supervisor. Or what I would have done, since I had my radio on, I would have contacted my department and have them contact that police department and says, hey, have a supervisor meet us here. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have took the ticket, because I was speeding. But no, you don't have to belittle me like that.
I'm surprised he didn't let you go.
Well, he did. Because, again, he might be coming through my jurisdiction one day. It might be me or even another officer. They want to have the same courtesy. Because you don't have to write a ticket.
Yeah.
Every time you see something, you don't have to write a ticket.
Right, right. Once again, Miko's here to give us some financial wisdom. Take it away, Miko.
Do you think that your life would be perfect if you just had more money or more stuff? Do you envy your friends or family because they have an expensive house or car? If you answered yes to either question, you may be giving false power to money. There are at least three ways that we give money too much power. One, we equate money with love. Money is a poor substitute for love and affection. Whether we are a parent, lover, friend, daughter, or son, the people close to us probably value our time and attention more than the gifts or money we may lavish on them. To create true intimacy, we must be emotionally available. In our fast-paced society, it is easy to believe that we are nurturing our relationships when we text, Snapchat, or Facebook our friends and family. However, we need to consider whether FaceTime is more appropriate and available. Two, we believe that if we only get this one more thing, we will be happy. How many times have we convinced ourselves that if we got just a new car, a new house, or new shoes, we would finally be satisfied? Unfortunately, once we get that coveted item, we realize the thing didn't fill the void we hoped that it would. So we fixate on the next thing. Remember, money is just paper and doesn't have the power to heal our emotional wounds. Unfulfilling and often unnecessary spending is a sign of pain that we need to nurture and heal. And finally, three. We believe money can fix all of our problems. Don't get me wrong, money is definitely a necessity. Motivational speaker Les Brown once said that money's right up there with air. But if money solved all of our problems, there wouldn't be so many unhappy wealthy people. Once we have the necessities covered, shelter, food, and health, we need to look within for happiness and not rely on external things to heal our internal wounds. If you need help realizing that you are powerful, regardless of your current or past financial situation, call Miko's Money Matters at 202-695-2404. And remember, it's never too late to rescue your financial future.
Thanks, Miko. I want to know what comes to mind when I say Rodney King.
I'm embarrassed.
Freddie Gray.
I'm on the fence about that, just based off of the evidence. Something happened to him, and I have been a paddy wagon driver myself, but they haven't given me enough information as to who could have broke his neck or broke his back, because I cannot, for the life of me, see it, because I have put plenty of people in a paddy wagon.
And didn't strap them in.
Well, at that time, we're right. New Age now. At that time,
right,
there was
right.
no
strapping,
there was
in.
No nothing. And but I always drove with respect. I wasn't trying to get them to bounce around. But in that particular case, in their paddy wagon, because now we have those type of paddy wagon, even if that police officer drove 50 miles an hour and stopped all of a sudden, I just can't see how his back was broken. I think something happened to him prior to being put in that paddy wagon,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's saying anything. Mm-hmm. As a police officer, when something like that, everybody's quiet.
And the amazing thing is, if everybody stays quiet, for the most part, it seems like nobody pays.
Justice is not served.
Everybody's covered because nobody's talking.
And well, nobody paid in Freddie Gray anyway.
Well,
except the city of Baltimore.
Yeah,
and Freddie Gray.
Right.
Yeah. So
and
the
mama.
The thing it
what is
there
life?
Seems to be a code amongst again we're talking about black police officers. There's a code there, and it's as much as people cheered when the state's attorney or the district attorney, whatever have you, brought charges, there's no real way to say that we knew that was going to go anywhere. That could be the parade by itself. We're going to bring charges. Nobody will talk. It'll get swept
we'll
under the rug.
Well, yeah, he we'll got try off. It a year he, from
yeah,
now.
Yeah. He got off earlier this week.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but there are four of them. I think it's four
or five.
Of them. And there's everybody knows you keep quiet and you don't testify
we'll
against
off.
Each other. And add that to the culture that the police department, quote unquote, not really, but quote unquote, despises, which is no snitching. You really have it's fascinating. That's all I can say. It's absolutely
it's a mess. Microcosm of society.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
On steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Sarge, you got anything on
with
that?
Guns.
Well, I agree. Something happened to him and nobody's talking. And so I give it to the prosecutor. He has to charge somebody. Now, she's going to create havoc in their life, but in order to say that the prosecutor's office did something, I'm
right.
going to charge those officers, and knowing that they're going to beat it.
Yes.
Right.
So it was no lose situation for her.
Mm-hmm.
She did her job.
She did her job. That's it. And she can get voted. She can get voted in again.
Yes. Yes.
Woo. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with Sergeant Grant Presley Jr. of the Canton Police Department about police and policing in the wake of a great deal of scrutiny and unrest around the country. As this is happening, as a video is providing the public with a new medium for relaying police behavior to a larger audience. In fact, what are your thoughts about the current, well, actually, two questions. What's your thoughts about the prevalence of video now, or the fact that it exists so much easier than it has in the past? And I would love to get a percentage. What do you think the number of incidents that are caught on video is only a percentage? What percentage of actual incidents of that nature that exist that do not get caught on video?
Probably a large percentage. Now, actually, those cameras that the officers have mounted on their body should be activated the moment they exit the car.
Mm-hmm.
Their personal cameras are on. And why it's not working is due to because the officer shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In the case of both those shootings that was in Minnesota and Louisiana, all that stuff, if the officers did right and it came on, Yeah, they should have all that video.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if it was in the officer's favor, they'd have to show those videos right away.
Yes.
Hey, here, America, this is what actually happened.
Right, right.
By them not showing it tells me, yeah, there are some issues there.
Mm-hmm.
Either the officer didn't turn it on, and they don't want to admit that the officer didn't turn it on, or once it fell off of him.
But the other officer turned away. The other officer literally turned away the video and looked the other way while one officer shot the guy
first
on the ground.
First, he got off of him because he was about to get shot, too.
Wow.
And then he turned away. Because, like, if you remember, they were both on top of him. He said he has a gun, and one officer rolled off. The other one shot him. Boom, boom. Then he got up, turned away, and the other officer shot him 3 more times from his back. And now they got the HD video. They got the surveillance camera video, which is, like, the worst angle possible in terms of squeamish stomachs. Mm. You know, like, you actually...
Pretty graphic.
The people filming turned away also. Like, they couldn't, you know, keep their hands steady. They couldn't believe what was going on. So you see where you can hear the shots off camera, but he actually turns away each time that the shots ring out. But the surveillance camera is stationary. It's inanimate. It's showing you the entirety of the situation.
The objective.
Yes.
Dispassionate
in HD.
Observer.
Mm. It's kind of ugly.
It's very ugly. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with Sergeant Grant Presley Jr. about police and policing in the wake of a great deal of scrutiny and unrest around the country. This is happening in many ways and in large part because of video that's providing the public with a new medium for relaying police behavior to a larger audience. Along today's journey, we've discussed the culture of policing. We've heard a good training day story and the high divorce rate around police departments. Thank you to my guest co-host, Carl Thomas. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my super-duper guest, Sergeant Grant Presley Jr. of the Canton Police Department. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr., that's Mr. Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.